Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and we're in Lesson 25, A Contrasting Word of God. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23. Last week, if I can recap just a little bit, we talked about the 12 apostles during the 3 years of the Lord's earthly ministry never understood or appreciated the meaning and the significance of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And I hoped as you listened to that and started looking at the verses, you understood that. There's a lot of people out there will say when Jesus Christ came, everybody understood exactly what He was doing. Okay? And as you look through the verses, what did you find out? It's not true, is it? You know, and all. So we looked at that, and we also looked at the after He died, He was resurrection and came back 40 days. They had a seminar with them, if you will. They understood that the necessity of Christ did have to suffer and die, according to what? The Scriptures. And it always amazes me that after He died and buried and rose again and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they start quoting Bible Scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ tried to show them and when He walked with them. So that's one thing that the Holy Spirit will do once it's I don't want to say just inside of you, but He's your teacher. He's a part of you. He gets in your soul. He helps you discern things. And if you know the Bible rightly divided, you understand that when things are being said out there, terminology through religious system, it does set you back a little bit, don't it? It's just like, whoa, what did He just say? That don't line up with what God says. So a lot of people out there today is looking at the fact of what is God's will for today. And so what is His will? To have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth is what I'm in it. And then you have God, a will, the God of Father, God of Son, God of Holy Spirit and stuff. So you have all kinds of wills. So this week, as we look at some things in Lesson 25, the 12 apostles were commissioned in their apostleships to bring Israel rebelliousness to a head, and in doing so, vindicated the outpouring of God's wrath upon that generation. Okay? And Matthew chapter 23. And two lessons ago, we looked at the fact in lesson 23 that Peter and company warn Israel the coming wrath of God on the time schedule. Okay? Matthew 23. Verse 29. Matthew 23, verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye built the tombs of the prophets and garnished the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Now, you know that to be not true, right? Okay, look at 31. Wherefore, if ye be witnesses unto yourself that ye are the children of them that which killed the prophets, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Why would they do that? They didn't want to hear a message. They didn't want to hear the truth. Verse 35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous of Abel unto the blood of Zacchaeus, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. You know where that's at, don't you? From the blood of who? Abel to all the way over to Zacchaeus. There's a set of blood being shed on the prophets and on the people that God sent. And God's going to vindicate this. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. So God, the apostles are telling, and was commissioned to the apostleships to tell Israel about their rebelliousness. From Abel all the way over to this other guy, would you say that was rebellious? all the bloodshed and all the things it was going to do. When I look at that and think about the political situation and the spiritual situation that God set up on this earth, Israel rebelled against every bit of that. You know, back in the Old Testament, when God was sitting in a throne, that he got up from the seat, and not only did he get up from the seat, he went to the threshold of the door, and not only did he get to the threshold of the door, but he went to the hillside. He gave them up, Israel, political and spiritually, okay, for certain reasons. But people want to still give Israel today the admiration, if you will, that they're God's chosen people. If you know right division today, what do you know about God dealing with people or nations? He's not dealing with nations today, is he? He's dealing with what? A group of people, or nations, I should say, not a nation. So when you see this about he's going to pour out his outpouring, his wrath upon that generation. That's what's very, very important to understand when Jesus Christ said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, okay, it shall be forgiven you. He stands on the cross, or he's nailed to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Did God answer that prayer for him? Then he said, but if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it's not forgiven you in this world or what? The world to come. And now many of us know that. Okay? The blasphemers speak evil against God. That's what blaspheming is. We know, we keep reading, we know that they've got a sin debt. Israel's got a sin debt on them. Did you have a sin debt to be paid? Where did God settle that for you and I? At the cross, okay? He poured out all the wrath, the unrighteousness of the world onto Jesus Christ, and we trust that. Go to Luke chapter 11. Well, last week also, while you're turning there, or 2 weeks, two lessons ago, we looked at chapter 24 of Matthew. And a lot of people will take 24 Matthew and think that's a catching away. Is that true or an error in Matthew 24? A lot of people talks about the catching away. One is taken, one is left behind, right? One is taken, one is left behind. Do you know where the one's taken is going? According to that context? They're going to judgment. The ones left behind is the ones going into the kingdom. And I'm telling you, when you start studying the Bible that way and looking at what that is, like the days of Noah's was, what took them all away? The wicked. The water, didn't it? The wrath, okay? But what was left behind? The good. And I shared this with somebody some 10 years ago, sitting in a setting like this, and they got so upset I never did see them again. Believing the Word of God. Because they said, you know, you're taking out, you're going to heaven, and the ones left behind is going to hell.
That's the way it's taught.
That's the way it's taught, but that's not what it is. Luke chapter, you look at Matthew 24 says that, Matthew 25, 23, and all that. Well, go to Matthew 24 for a second.
But is that because they confuse the rapture
with that? Yes, they've been taught that this is the catching away. Now, the catching away, that we, if you know it, you know, many of you know that you only find that in whose epistles? Paul's epistles. Look at Matthew 24 before you go to Luke chapter 11. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, who's that they?
The world.
The world or the wicked. Okay? Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them. Who's that them?
The
Okay, the wicked all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then shall two be in a field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other, what? Left. Where are they taken to? Judgment. So that ain't the catching away that Paul talks about for a mystery event in the Word of God. So go to Luke chapter 11. I just had to share that with you. And that verse right there got me in trouble. Because there are no... Don't it make sense? If the wicked is taken out of here and the good is left behind during that period, wouldn't that make sense that they're going to go into the kingdom? Because where's the kingdom of God at this time going to be set up?
On earth.
And what does Matthew portray God as?
King.
They're looking for their king. We know Jesus Christ, our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ to be who today? Our Lord, king. Isn't he king of all kings? We know that. We know he's Lord of all lords. And you know, we talked about passing all these churches, you know. There's people out there that says kingdom first. Okay? They're trying to build a kingdom for God on this earth. And what did you learn last week, a week before, about the desolation of the what did it say? Matthew 24. Matthew 23. No, Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Has that place been built yet?
No.
So how in the world can you look at your TV set today and say this is what's going on today? It takes you to believe your Bible versus to believe some... And I tell you, I don't want to turn a TV set on. It's most miserable. I liked those football games last night, but, you know, I watched that. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. In the view that the apostles to bring Israel's rebelliousness to a head... And so doing, vindicate the outpouring of God's wrath upon that generation. 11:39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye, Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness. Ye fools. And that, who's a Pharisee? They was rulers, wasn't they? Pharisees, Sadducees. They was rulers of what system?
The religious system.
That God set up on this earth to rule and reign a nation where all of everybody else would be under an umbrella. And these are Pharisees that should know better. What did he say? Ye fools. And where did he say their hearts were at? Wickedness. Does Nicodemus come to mind? Who is he? Yeah. Would he have been a part of this? Ye fools, did not he that make that which is without make that which is within also? Ooh, that's a big question, isn't it? Meaning what? If God made the inner parts, did he make the outer parts? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the others undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the other... uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market. What is that about? It's flesh, isn't it? Look at me. Okay? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Some heavy stuff they're pouring out here. Verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers, what do you know about Pharisees and lawyers when it comes to Luke chapter 7? Not today. Now today they're different, right? Well, no, not those. But who rejected the counsel of God and was not baptized of him?
The Pharisees and scribes and the lawyers.
See? He names them right here. He knows they did not become a part of... Hold your finger there. Don't take my word for it. Go to Luke. Turn back to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. And I say unto you, Luke chapter 7, verse 28. I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. What do you know about baptism? It's a form of what?
Identification.
They're identifying themselves with John the Baptist because of a nation of priests. Verse 30, where I'm going. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of a God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So right off the bat, you should know that this is a group of people did not want to identify themselves with the prophet that God says there's none greater. And when he came on this scene, he had business to do, if you will. And who sent God? Who sent John the Baptist? He was a man sent from God himself. He just didn't pop up like you get these preachers today, just pop out of the middle of nowhere. You know, I was listening to a FM station on the way out on my travels, and this woman called herself Reverend. And you know where she got her diploma? From the biggest internet church there is. Okay? They will ordain you for a little bit of nothing. But you know what she said her job is? All she does is marry people. Because she can drink all the alcohol and eat all the food for free. Think about that. This is what's going on out there. Now, if the Lord walked on this earth today, would He rebuke something like that? Where are we at? 11. 45. And then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, we're in chapter 11. Now, who else called somebody Master? They don't call him Lord, did they? Master, this saying, thou reproachest us also. Would that cut to your heart? And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourself touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Your fingers? Woe unto you, for ye built the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye built their sepulchres. What's he saying here, by the way? They're doing the same thing that their fathers did. And where Stephen was up there, he said, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in the heart, you did well as your fathers did. Could they have not turned this thing around as far as saying, I'm not going to do what my fathers did? They got blood on their hands. I'm not going to be a part of that. Verse 49. Therefore also also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. God knows what He sent to do, and they're going to be killed. Verse 50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundations of the world may be required of this generation. The blood, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacchaeus, which perish between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, I shall require of this generation. Now, why, once again, what you read, what kind of debt do they have to pay? For what? What did they do in order for God says this wrath on this generation is going to be poured out? Not only reject them, but you just read it. Kill the prophets. But from the blood, from where? From Abel to Zacchaeus. That's generations of people. And they've got a debt to pay. See? That's why the wrath is going to pour out on them. That's why they have to pay for it. And you know something? Just because you're part of that little flock on this earth, does that mean you're going to escape anything? God allows them to go into some wrath to be poured out on them. So that's very, very important to know that this is one of the reasons why they got to send that to pay. And you would think that at this event of the cross took care of it. And it should have, shouldn't it? They rejected it. God knew that. God knew that exactly what they're going to do, but He's got a time period, but He allowed the little flock, Peter and company, to form a group of believers to believe what God is doing for that generation. And He saves them. Contrast. Go to Romans chapter 11. If you know your Bible and Romans, and we went through Romans here, practically verse by verse, you know Romans, first five chapters deal with what? Justification. Romans chapter 6, 7, 8 deals with what? Sanctification. It teaches you how to be set apart from sin, set apart from the law, set apart from the flesh. Once you're saved. Well, Romans chapter 1, 5, it's forever settled. Okay, if you can get that down, people, if you're listening, if you can get that down, first five books of Romans, it's forever justified in the sight of God. Never have to bring that up ever again. And, you know, I know some of us think, well, what if I do this tomorrow? You know, what if I do? It's forever settled. Your sin debt that God Almighty paid for you to be separated from Him eternally. We understand that, right? Now, will you continue to sin? Yeah, yeah, right. But that sin will not keep you away from God Almighty. You with me? Okay, it's forever settled. Now, that's why you get into Romans chapter 6, 7, 8. It teaches you that you're dead to sin. It teaches you you're dead to the law. It teaches you you're dead to flesh. Amen? And once you understand that and get that down inside of you and start believing and defending it, it makes a difference in your life. Do I want to do those things? No. Romans chapter 11. And then Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 deals with what? Israel. Dispensational. Okay. And then Romans chapter 12 through 16 is an applicational part that you learned all through the first 11 books and you start applying it to your life. Romans chapter 11. Paul and the dispensation of grace of God. Paul, today, in the contrast, Paul was commissioned to proclaim that God is now long-suffering and He is extending Him mercy and grace to all, even in spite of Israel's climatic rebelliousness and the repentance for the day of the Lord. You with me? You just read what God was going to do pour out on that generation. Was that good or bad? Okay, now you're going to find out what God is long-suffering. We say this a lot in Paul's epistles. He talks about grace and peace. You know, he opens up all his epistles that way. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. You know, so is that different from wrath and judgment, wrath and judgment, wrath and judgment? Romans 11, verse 28. Romans chapter 9 is dealing with the nation Israel and is sharing some things with them. Romans chapter 10, you find out how they can be saved. Romans chapter 11, starting to show them what had happened to them. And if 90% of the churches out there start believing this book, what happened to the nation Israel, had they had fallen. God's not chose them any longer. He's chosen a body of Christ, and everybody needs to get in this body. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Who's they?
Israel,
God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. In times past, Moses had told the nation Israel, you have a peculiar type of ministry to provoke the Gentiles to jealousy. No?
To provoke them to jealousy? I thought it was the other way around.
Well, think about it. Israel's message was to provoke the Gentiles to jealousy, to join them. You with me? Now, what does this say? Just the opposite. That the Gentiles are going to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's why they turned it around. If you really realize why the Corinthians started speaking in tongues. The Corinthians started laying on hands. The Corinthians started healing. The Corinthians started... Who was doing that in times past? And all of a sudden, here's a bunch of Gentiles doing that? Wouldn't that make you think, if you was an Israelite, whoa, wait a minute, what is going on here? And we know it through the Bible, as it progressively through, those things are done away with. And you believe His Word over that. But He says, Acts chapter 7 is where they stumbled. Go to verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles... Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now, does he make a big to-do of that office? Okay, let me ask you this. I'll get you thinking for a second. If God chose Israel as a favorite nation, they had a good standing with God, right, in times past. And if you just read that they have fallen, not the saved ones. You got to understand that once they trusted, once God justified them in that program, I believe they're justified. And they can't get out of it.
The kingdom saints.
The kingdom saints. Okay? There's a group there. But when Paul came along, God changed that program from a nation to nations. And he says, all, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of glory of God. Now, does that mean the kingdom saints are with that group? So they're sanctified, they're set aside. Who would that leave in place? Who would be the Israelites he's talking about there?
Apostate
Israel. So they would be part of what?
Gentiles.
So I'm an apostle of the... That means Jew and Gentiles. The apostate Israel and all the other nations. With me? That's why he... Because I'm looking at this one day, I'm like... Why would he say that if he's talking to a saved Israelite to explain to him what God is doing in this dispensation? Because the apostate Israel is not part of that kingdom message or the kingdom saints, so they would be down here with me. So Paul can say, I'm apostle of the Gentiles. That's why he could go into that synagogue and find out where they're at and reason with them out of the Scriptures and find out, do they know Jesus Christ as their Messiah? And if they didn't, he said, let me show you. And he converted them. Yeah, he knocked the dust off his feet. Yeah, he got stung. But look, verse 28. Let's go over here. Well, verse 25 says, "For I would not have, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." They're blind right now in part. Now, what benefit would you do to be a part of a blind nation right now? A lot of people think you are. You're part of a blind nation. If you're the way you think about it, there's a lot of blind nations. But he's talking with who? the nation Israel, blindness is in part has happened to them. It's almost like three blind mice. You know, you don't want to grab a tail of a blind mice, do you? But look, where did I say to go? Verse 28. And concerning, well, verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved. When would that happen? Where would you find that in the Old Testament? You should know this by now. Who prophesies about them being taken out of a nation and calls them to walk and put a new spirit on them? Daniel and who else? Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:24, that's where you find that. And that shall come out of Zion to deliver, and he shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. When does that take place in your Bible, in your timeline? Over here. It didn't take place when he walked this earth. And it's definitely not taking place through Romans, through Philemon, and the dispensation of grace. So there is a time when all of Israel be saved. And once again, who is all of Israel? The remnant, the little flock. That's all of Israel. True Israel. And you think, are they going to be that many? Let me ask you this. Are there that many of people that truly believes in Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again in the body of Christ? You think about what's happening today and you got to think, don't you? Like, whoa, you know, they won't even stand by this, or they won't even stand by this. You know, that's scary, isn't it? You know, I got a good friend down in the hills of Tennessee. He tells me, you know, he says he don't believe there's that going to be that many raptured out of here. And you think about it, I'm like, but you can't be focused on that, can you? You got to be focused on the nasty now and what you're doing. Keep reading. For this is my covenant unto who? Them. Who is them?
Israel.
That's right. When I shall take away their sins. When is he going to take away their sins? Didn't we read last week and a week before and a week before, if you've been following the lessons, the fact that and when the times of refreshing shall come and he will send back Jesus, and their sins will be blotted away when the times of refreshing. This is that what he's talking about. That's Hebrews chapter 8 right here, by the way. Verse 6. Verse 28. And concerning the gospel, wonder what gospel that is. Would it be the kingdom gospel?
No.
How about the circumcision gospel?
Nope.
How about the kingdom gospel?
No,
how about the everlasting gospel?
No,
you know, there's all kinds of gospels in your Bible. You know that? Check this out. And concerning the gospel, they, who's that they again? Are enemies for your sake. There's no spiritual Israel out there. Okay? A lot of people want to make you part of a spiritual Israel. And you know what I'm talking about. The TV's full of them. So they spiritualize with what? Spiritual eyes. And they have to tell spiritual lies to keep you there. There's no spiritual Israel out there. Israel's going to be literal, physical, reigning with God on this earth. Your physical, spiritual, literal, physical, all that good stuff with God Almighty today in the heavenlies. But as touching the elect, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And the gifts, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God, now who's going to do this? God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given it to him, and it shall be recompensed? unto him again. For of him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory forever. There's going to be a time over here that through their unbelief, they're going to start believing, if that makes sense. Okay? Right now, they have what? Israel has what? Through their unbelief. They're blind. It's their unbelief. So Paul, God through Paul, when he commissioned to proclaim that God is now what? Long-suffering. He's not pouring out a wrath because you're a lawyer, a Pharisee, or part of a nation or not part of a nation. He's long-suffering. We have a ministry of what? Reconciliation. God's with peace with the world right now, people. He really is. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for so much in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.